Morning. Today's Daf and Tvachim is Nun Beis. We are in Nanaf Amad Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud Tan Rabban. We're starting with a Braisa. We're speaking primarily today. We're behind, but we're going to catch up today. We have a short Amud Beis. So we're going to hopefully make it all the way to the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. I don't know if we'll go there, we'll get that far, but we'll get pretty close to it. The discussion today revolves around the Yesod HaMizbeach. So again, if you just want to take a little walk with me around the Mizbeach, virtually, note the following. When we're talking about the Mizbeach, it's a pretty simple, structure. It's a square. It's a square that recesses in as you move upwards. In other words, at the bottom of it, there is a base. And we simply call it a base because it's the widest part of the Mizbeach. And it protrudes on almost all four sides, but not on all four sides. We're later going to discuss in the Masechta why it is doesn't it protrude on all four sides. Why isn't it just a simple square on the very bottom? But it doesn't. In other words, the Yesod, the base goes around the north side, the west side, and then north side, west side. By the way, we're looking at the... At a picture of the base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash, you'll notice that north is facing downward. So, just in terms of your orientation, just turn around. But right. Whatever. Okay. So the north side and the west side of the Mizbeach, they both have a Yesod, they have a foundation, and it goes a little bit in on both sides. But you'll notice on the southeast corner, obviously, it's absent in total of Yesod. It doesn't have Yesod. When we are sprinkling the dam of a karban, so generally it goes on the side of the Mizbeach. Most of the blood of most of the karbanos go on the lower half, on the lower portion of the Mizbeach. Only the dam of a karban chatzos of an animal goes on the upper portion of the Mizbeach. It goes on the kronos, it goes on the horns. And basically on the Mizbeach, as you continue to move up, so basically it's a block that continues up and it recesses again in, and then it goes up again, and so basically that's the Mizbeach. And as we've been learning over the course of the Masechta, so the Zrikas Adam, the sprinkling of the blood, you shech the carbon, you collect the blood, you walk it towards the Mizbech, the sprinkling of the blood is the kapara. That is the function of providing the atonement from a kapara. When you are finished with the sprinkling of the blood, so then there's Shvicha Shiraim. You pour the Shiraim on the Yesod HaMizbech, on the base, on the foundation of the Mizbeach. So in other words, wherever there's going to be a foundation, you pour it. As we pointed out earlier, we just ended off yesterday's daf discussing that when you have the dam of karbanos to go into the heichal, so then you're going to be exiting, and where you're going to be pouring it? On the western, because that's the first side you're going to be meeting as you are exiting the heichal. That's what we discussed yesterday. With all that stated, Tana Rabbanan, we're going to be starting with a braisa. Now this braisa over here, let's make the observation before we see it together. And the braisa, Rashi over here spells it out beautifully. Looking at the Rashi in Anal from an Aleph, a Yesod Mizbecha Ola. I know we haven't read a word of Gemara yet, but take a look at the Rashi as he gives us the basic, the background information. Chamish Parshios Hain. So if you go from Perek Dalet in Vayikra, so you're going to note that there are five Parshios in succession. Bechatzah Shel Par Mashiach, the Par Kohen Gadol. One, two, Shel Par Helam Davish Shel Tzibor. I know I'm kind of, I'm reading into Rashi, but that's what Rashi's referring to. Shehein Panimios. In other words, one and two are Chatzos Panimios. They're the blood that go inside. We've gone over this so many times. But again, a constant review. We're gonna get to know this so well. Number three, the third parsha in succession, Vishal Seir Nasi. The third parsha over there in Perek Dalet is that of the Nasi, the king. If he were a sin, so he has a special carbon chatas. Now, notice the difference between one and two versus three. One and two are chatas apanimias, meaning there the blood is going to be sprinkled in the heichal. Masha Enkei, when it comes to the par of a seir, so that is the only notable difference is that it's a male animal, not a female animal. But outside of that, short of that, it's sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. It's going to be treated like a regular chatas. Good. And then number four is kifsa yachid v'shel seiris yachid. And then you have the two carbon chatases of an individual. One is a sheep and the other one is a goat. Shehin chitzonis, and they, of course, are chitzonis. They are the carbon chatases that are offered on the outer mizbeach, not on the inner mizbeach. B'shtam ha'pneimos v'sir nasi k'siv b'shvicha sharaim al yesod mizbeach ha'ola. Rashi continues, Rashi says that if you read the psukim carefully, you will notice that in 1 and 2 and in 3, when describing Shvicha Shiraim, the pouring of the remaining of the blood, it says, El Yesod Mizbach HaOla, on the base of the which Mizbech? Mizbach HaOla, the outer Mizbech. Meaning because the carbon Ola is brought only on the outer Mizbech. You also notice, says Rashi, that when you get to numbers 4 and 5, meaning the individual carbon chatos, one of the sheep and the other one to the goat, so it just simply says, oh, you saw mizbach, and it doesn't say mizbach ha'olah. V'kadarish tana t'lasa el mizbach ha'olah. And what we're going to be doing in this brisa, says Rashi, is that we're going to be darshing the first three, because it keeps saying mizbach ha'olah, as if the Torah is trying to tell us something, which, of course, the Torah is trying to tell us something. The brisa is going to teach us what's at stake over here. Lama pirish ha'kasav. So, okay, fine. So that's Rashi's introduction. Rashi goes on. Rashi quotes the Torah's Kohanim. But anyway, we're going to go back to the Gemara. Good. So we have the necessary background information. It says three times now. It says five times that you're pouring the Shirayim on the base of the Mizbeach for all five carbon chatzeses that are set in succession, the beginning from the beginning of Perek Dalet onward into Perek Hay. But what we're going to be discussing right now is the first three, because the first three, it says, El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah. And why does it say Mizbech HaOlah? What is the Torah trying to address over here? One, says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Al Yisod Mizbech HaOlah, V'lo Yisod Mizbech HaPnimi. So halacha number one is that with the Shirayim is going to be poured on the Mizbech HaOlah, and not on the Yisod Mizbech HaPnimi, not on the base of the Mizbech HaPnimi. Now, by the way, it'll be a little bit of a challenge to pour the Shirayim down the base of the Mizbech HaPnimi for a very simple reason, because the inner Mizbech does not have a Yisod. It doesn't have the structure of a foundation the way the outer Mizbeach has it. But anyway, but right now, halacha number one is that it's going to be put the Shirayim report only on the outer Mizbeach. Number two, El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah Ein Lo Yisod L'Panimi Atzmo. Number two actually brings us now to this next point, which is that, in fact, the inner Mizbeach doesn't even have a Yisod. Structurally, it is built just a block, a simple block. In other words, its height is going to be greater than its width, but it's a block. And so it doesn't have a Yisod. And then finally, number three, halacha number three, El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah, Ten Yisod Mizbech SheOlah. In other words, number three, halacha number three is that when you're going to be pouring the Shirayim of any carbon, so it's going to be poured, there's going to be a requirement to pour the Shirayim down the Yisod Mizbech. Meaning, even though the Torah spells it out by carbon chatzos, and the Torah does not spell it out by all the other carbonos, what we're learning now from number three, now remember, number three is talking about the seir of the melech. So in other words, it's a very specific carbon, but still, by virtue of the fact that the Torah now is repeating itself, we know this already, and the Gemara is going to spell that out, that we know this already. We know this already that the Shirayim are going to be poured on the outer Mizbeach. So why does the Torah then have to repeat itself and say, "Am Mizbech HaOlah"? Comes to teach me that when I do the Shirayim of any carbon, it's going to be sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach. Or let me say a little bit better, a little clearer. Meaning there is a Shirayim requirement to be poured on the outer Mizbeach for all other carbonos. Okay, so those are the three halachas that we learned in succession from the mention of Mizbech HaOlah by Karban Chatzos 1, 2, and 3. And now the Braisa continues. O Einu Ella. The Gemara says, well, maybe what the third mention is trying to teach us is the following. Mizbech HaSho'olah Yehei LeYisod. That as far as the Mizbech HaSho'olah is concerned, that should be for the Yisod. What does that mean? So Rashi points out, O Einu Ella. O Einu Ella Mizbech HaSho'olah Yehei Yisod. Rashi writes, O Einu Ba'olah Meklomach Shvicha Shirayim She'olah V'shol Shar Damim. Maybe the third Rashi over here is not talking about Shirayim at all. Ella Ba'olah Meid Al Halachos Mizbech Mamatan Dam She'olah. Maybe the Torah is telling us regarding a halacha regarding the initial sprinkling of the carbon Ola. Sh'yitein Shtei Manoseh Keneged HaYisod. In other words, and what is the Torah coming to tell us? That there are going to be two sprinklings, meaning we're going to be learning later in this very perek, that with a carbon olah, there are going to be two sprinklings, and where should they be done? Only on the area that's keneged a yisod, meaning on a corner of the mizbech where there is a yisod, l'umutik her mizrach hashdromis. And obviously this would preclude the southeast corner. The southeast corner does not have yisod, as we already explained structurally. We didn't explain why yet, but that's coming up later in the Masechta. But in other words, just right now, the what? The southeast corner doesn't have Yisod. So right now, maybe the third drasha is teaching me that when I'm sprinkling the blood of carbon olah, it has to be opposite the areas of the Mizbech that has a Yisod. Shein lo Yisod ki darmin b'hai pirkin. Okay, in fact, Rashi points out we're not that long from now. We're going to learn the halacha that the southeast corner does not have Yisod. So where do we stand right now? The Gemara is suggesting that maybe the third reference of El Yisod Mizbech HaOlah is not a halacha regarding Shirayim, but rather it's a halacha regarding the initial sprinkling of the carbon olah. But the Braisa immediately rejects it. So, Eino, sorry, let me just get back to my place. Eino, Ella. So Rabbi Yishmael says, no, for this I don't need a drasha. Look, shirayim, which are, don't even provide a kapara, meaning that what Rabbi Yishmael seems to be saying is that shirayim is a mitzvah, it's not ma'akev, it's not essential, it's not critical, and meanwhile we know the shirayim have to be poured down the yisod. So the tchila ola, meaning the initial sprinkling of the carbon ola, of course it has to go on a corner of the mizbech that has opposite it a yisod, that has with it a yisod. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel says, look, we could have argued this through a simple kal v'chomer. Now, I'm Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva over here, it's going to sound the same. He's also going to make a kal v'chomer, and it's going to sound nearly identical. And later, the Gemara is going to try to fine-tune exactly what the difference is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Let's hear Rabbi Kiva's argument. You know, by the shirayim, it doesn't provide kapara, and it doesn't come for a kapara. Sounds redundant. Gemara later on will point that out. And meanwhile, tuuna yisoda requires a base. So tchila sola shemechaper zavala kapara. So the initial sprinkling of the carbonola, which is therefore kapara. Now the word kapara over here we're going to use a little bit loosely, meaning it's not kapara, meaning it's not like for a specific sin, but it's for bitul aseva, like we discussed earlier, meaning it's, but it is accomplishing something. So eino din shetuna yisod, so for sure it should require yisod. So basically, Rabbi Kiva is giving the same argument as Rabbi Yishmael. Look, if the shirayim, which is not critical, requires yisod, so the initial sprinkling, of course, requires a yisod. So imkein matalomer lomer el yisod mizbach olah. So the Gemara says. So now we go back to the third mention by the seir of the melech of the nasi. Why does the Torah say the words yisod mizbach olah? Ten yisod lemizbach sheolah. So therefore, we go back to what we originally presented, which is it's a halacha regarding the shirayim. And what is the halacha regarding the shirayim? Not only is the Shvicha Shirayim a mitzvah regarding a carbon chatas, Shvicha Shirayim is a mitzvah for every carbon. After doing the sprinkling, the initial sprinkling, so then there's a requirement of Shvicha Shirayim by all other carbon. Amar Mar. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, that takes us to the end of the Braisa, and as the Gemara is traditional to do, the Gemara is going to dissect and take apart numerous points of the Braisa. We already know one of the points that definitely needs an understanding is what's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel's Kal V'chomer. They're basically both making the same Kal V'chomer, and we're going to get to that point a little bit later on. But the Gemara right now addresses the following. Amamar, El Yisod Mizbach V'lo Yisod Mizbach HaPanimi. So the Gemara says that what we're learning together is that it's poured down the base of the Mizbach and not the inner mizbech, meaning Shvicha Shirayim is done in the outer mizbech, not in the inner mizbech. To which the Gemara says, "Hamibay lelegufe." So the Gemara says, "How do we using that for a drasha? Don't we already know this? Me'asher Pesach ol moed nafka." So the Gemara says, "No, we don't. I'm sorry, we already knew this because the Torah says that where's the Shirayim going to be poured? Asher Pesach ol moed. It's the mizbech that faces ol moed. That's obviously the outer mizbech." So we already know that there's a requirement to pour the shirayim down the outer mizbech. What is the Torah now repeating and saying the outer mizbech? It's there to tell us the outer mizbech to the exclusion of the inner mizbech. So the Gemara says, El Yisod Mizbech Ha'ola, Tein Yisod L'Mizbech Sha'ola. So the Gemara over here now is going over the third halacha that we learned together, and that is amplification. Meaning not only is there an idea of Shvicha Shirayim by the Karban Chatas, but there's Shvicha Shirayim by all Karbanos. That was the third drasha that we made. So the Gemara says, Isak adach kedichsev hanalam aleikra l'shirayim. So the Gemara says, now, why is it that we are allowed to amplify and say that the shvicha shirayim, the pouring of the shirayim, is required for all karbanos? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because I don't need a pasuk by the seir, by the chatzos of the nasi. Why? Lam aleikra l'shirayim, shirayim habaraya avidlehu. The Gemara says, well, let's consider. Meaning, for one and two, meaning for the Par Kohen Gadol and the Par Helm Davashol Tzibor, so the blood is sprinkled on the inside. So there, the Torah is telling us, okay, the blood, the initial sprinkling is done on the inside, meaning in the Heichal, and then when you get to the Shirayim, you have to take it outside. But once we're talking now about the Seir of the Melech, so the Nasi, so you start on the outside, so the Gemara says, so at that point in time, obviously, the Shirayim are going to be poured on the outside. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, don't we know it already? And why then would I need a pasuk altogether? So Shiraim Habraya Velahu Vechitema, and the Gemara says, and perhaps we'll make the argument the apich mepech, the brai le gavai, the gavai le brai. And the Gemara says, well, here's a havamina, and admittedly it's a strange havamina, but here's the havamina. Well, look, for one and two, I did the sprinkling on the inside in the heichal, so I did shvicha shiraim on the outside. Okay, so maybe for the nasi, maybe it's an inversion. Maybe since the sprinkling, the original sprinkling is on the outer mizbeach, maybe the shiraim is on the inner mizbeach. That would have been the havamina, and if that is a legitimate havamina, so then I need the drasha to tell me no. Well, once I need the drasha to tell me that, so then I don't have the right to amplify like the brisa did. But the Gemara says no. Top of nun beis amid aleph debray legavai degavai lebray ha ein lo yisod lepanim atzmo. Gemara says we can't even entertain that havamina for the reason which you probably already thought, which is that the inner mizbeach doesn't even have a yisod. So it's not even shaykh to have a discussion of pouring the shirayim of the se'ir, of the nasi, on the inner mizbeach, because the inner mizbeach simply doesn't have a yisod. So basically what we've done is, even as a havamina, we disqualify the havamina, and so then we're back to where the brisa left us off, which is, what do we learn from the third mizbeach ha'olah? We learn from their amplification. That every carbon where the blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, there is a requirement to pour the shiraim on the base of the mizbeach.
Can't we use this information to show essentiality of the shiraim?
Well, that's going to be a big part of today's daf. It's coming up. That is coming up.
What is the explanation for it?
Tosos is. Come to me later. I'll.
What is the topic?
Come to me later. We'll address it later. Oh, eino ela mizbach sha olam. Okay, we're back to the brisa. The brisa over here. The brisa over here suggests, well, maybe not. Maybe eino ela mizbach sha olam yehe li yisod. So the Gemara now entertains the havamina. The brisa, I should say, entertain the havamina that when describing the third chatas. Maybe mizbach ha'olah was not a topic regarding the carbon chatos, but maybe regarding the initial sprinkling of the carbon olah. And as a havamina, the Gemara thought, well, maybe that's what the Torah has to teach us, that when you are sprinkling the initial sprinkling of the carbon olah, you have to do it on the area of the mizbeach that has the yisod, meaning all corners except for the southeast. Southeast doesn't have a yisod. So the Gemara says, "Oyna ela mizbach sha'ola yehili yisod miksiv el yisod ha'ola el yisod mizbach ha'ola ksiv." So the Gemara says, even as a havamina, I can't really entertain that, because if you read the pesukim carefully, the pasuk says el yisod ha'ola, and it does not say el yisod mizbach ha'ola. Now, what's the difference? Meaning, and why? Why does that change things? So Rashi over here explains. Rashi writes, "Bishlama Rashi imiksiv." Al Yisod Ha'olah, Yisod Mizbach Ha'olah, Ksiv. Bishlam Ida Rash Alei, Litein Torah Shvicha Shiraim, L'chol Damim Shechitzonim Shapir, Ksiv. Mizbach Ha'olah, Litein Torah Yisod, L'mizbach Ha'olah, L'chol Damim Hanizrakim Olav. If you're going with what we suggested is Pshat, which is an amplification for all Karbanos, where once you do the original sprinkling, the initial sprinkling, the Shiraim reported on the base of Mizbach, perfect. Mizbach Ha'olah. But however, if what you're entertaining is what we are entertaining right now, that it's talking about the karbanos where the sprinkling is done around the initial sprinkling, ela. Ila tchilas damim kadarash delay, Rashi writes, so like lamemeli tain torus kenegede yisod lemizbech ola, l'chol damav. Well, then the pasuk of course makes no sense, because what's it telling us? That for initial sprinkling, only sprinkle where there's a base. Is that true by all karbanos? No. It's true by most karbanos, but it's not true by all karbanos, meaning karban chatas, Rashi is about to tell us. Carbon chatas is sprinkled around all four corners. Obviously, southeast corner included as well. Southeast corner doesn't have a base. So in other words, if we were talking about the initial sprinkling, so you can't say, well, all the carbonates are going to be limited only to corners of a base. It's not true. Chatas is sprinkled on all four corners. Rashi writes, Daha chatas tuna matna al arba kronos, v'keren jomis mizrachas b'chlal. In other words, the chatas, you do all four corners, including the southeast corner. So in other words, exclusively over here, it's talking about the carbon ola. So in other words, by adding the word mizbach, we're talking now about if we're talking about amplification, we're talking not about the initial sprinklings. We can't be talking about the initial sprinklings. Therefore, it has to be talking about the Shirayim. Okay, very good. So, Ihava Ksiv al Yisod Ola Hava Mina. I'm sorry. So, Aina al Yisod Mizbech Ola Ksiv. Ihava Ksiv. So, back to the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to explain. Ihava Ksiv al Yisod Ha Ola. If the Pasuk would have just simply said the word Yisod Ola Hava Mina, Bizikifa Shel El Yisod. Hashe Dechsiv El Yisod Mizbach Ha Ola. Agago de Yisod. So, the Gemara says, look, here's what we learn now from the fact that the Torah says the word Mizbach includes the words Mizbach. What we learn from that is as follows. Look, as I explained in the beginning of the shiur today, when you have the yesod and you have the base of the mizbeach, so what? At the very base of the mizbeach, it goes up one amma and it goes in an amma. And we also know that there is, for most of the karbanos, and for the shirayim of every karban, it's poured on the yesod of the mizbeach. So now we could be talking about two planes. We could either be talking about the vertical plane, or we could talk about the horizontal plane. Meaning it goes up an amma and it goes in an amma. So when the Torah says, take the shirayim and pour it. Now granted, by the way, pouring usually indicates that you're pouring in a downward direction. And so if left to logic, I would have told you that it should be done on the horizontal, not on the vertical, considering that you're pouring and not spritzing. So spritzing, by the way, being a technical term, being a scientific term. So, still, in other words, what the Gemara is telling us is that by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the words mizbach ha'ola, mizbach indicates horizontal. Just like if we were talking about the top of the mizbeach, we would describe it as a mizbach, meaning that term is applicable to the top of it. So when talking about the yesod, we're also going to be talking about the top of the yesod, meaning the horizontal plane, not the vertical plane. So the Gemara says, so good. So that's what we learned from that included word of the word Mizbach. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shmuel. We're back now to the Braisa, and we're back to dissecting the words of the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Gag Yesod Lamali Kra Kavachomahu. Masha Erechata Shena Mechaperes Tuna Gag Yesod Tchilas Olo Shem Mechaperes Ena Din Shetuna Gag Yesod. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Masha Erechata Shem Mechapen Vein Bal Nechaper Tuna Gag Yesod Tchilas Olo Shem Mechaperes Uval Nechaper Ena Din Shetuna Gag Yesod. Now, I know I read all that quickly, but that was all the Braisa, meaning Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, let me do it in the proper order. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are both providing arguments, logical arguments, in terms of how it is we would have known that even if the Torah did not mention the pouring of the Shirayim on the Yesod and Mizbech, we would have known it. If the original sprinkling, which obviously is essential, is critical, has to be going in an area where there is Yisod, so the Shirayim, which is not critical, not essential, for sure have to be going on the area of the Yisod. So Im Kain, so now that we've established through a Kavachomer that we would have known that there's a mitzvah Shricha Shirayim on the Yisod, Im Kain Matamalama Yisod Mizbech Alot, Yisod Mizbech Sha'ola. So the Gemara says, so therefore, by virtue of the fact that we would have known this halach through a Kavachomer, and the Torah repeats it anyway. What is the Torah doing? What's the accomplishment of repetition? It's amplification. It comes to tell me that this halacha of Shvichas Shirayim is not just limited to the Karban Chatas, but it's true by all Karbanos as well. Good. We just went over the Braisa again. What we need to do now, which the Gemara is going to do, is what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? They are both providing an argument, and their arguments are pretty much the same. In fact, if you read it and reread it, you're going to find that it's essentially making the same point. Sprinkling that is essential sprinklings, like the beginning of the sprinklings, have to be done on an area opposite the yesod. Shirayim also have to be poured down the yesod. And they're both making the same point. And my Beinayu. And the Gemara now wants to know, what is the fine difference between the two, between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Amar of Ada Ba'ava. So the Gemara is going to give two approaches. The first approach belongs to Rav Ada Ba'ava, and he suggests Shirayim Ma'akvim Ika Beinayu. So this is a topic that we've explored before, and now we're going to explore again in today's daf, and that's as follows. We know the Shirayim is part of the Avoda. You sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech, and then whatever's left over is poured on the base of the Mizbech. Shvicha Shirayim. Is that critical? Is that essential? Is that not critical? And the Gemara now is suggesting that this perhaps is the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Mar Savra Ma'akve and Mar Savra Lo Ma'akve. So one says it's Ma'akev, and the other one says it's not Ma'akev. Now, really, what you have to do is you have to read the wording of the Braisa really carefully, because if I were to ask you which one holds it's critical and which one holds it's not critical, it's not that clear from the Braisa. In other words, they're both basically giving the same argument. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi writes, Shiraim Akvim Ika Benayu. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Kaparahu Dela Mechapre. Aval Ikuva Me'akve. So as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, he says, look, it's not there to provide the kapara. However, it is Kaparahu Dela Mechapre Aval Ikuva Me'akve, but it's essential. It's critical. Now, it's hard to put that in legal terms. Meaning, so it's not providing kapara, but it's really important. It's really critical. And then it begs the question, well, if I don't do it, then what? Then that means that the kapara is no longer achieved? Hard to put in legal terms exactly what Rabbi Shmuel means. But Rashi, the way Rashi explains it, is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it is ma'akev. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva the Mosif, the ain bain lechapara. Rashi says, what's the tell? What's the tip of Rabbi Akiva? By him adding those three extra words of ain bain lechapara. If you look back at the argument of Rabbi Akiva writes, umasha yerchata she'ain mechaprim, the ain bain lechapara. So what are we gaining from those three extra words? So Rashi writes, Rabbi Akiva the Mosif, ain bain lechapara, ashmin the ain matan damim shel matanos tali bahem. Meaning there really is no connection between Shvicha Shiraim and the original sprinkling, and the original Hazayos. Meaning they are two separate mitzvahs. Now they're both mitzvahs, but they're separated. The lo ma'ak velu Shiraim lahazos. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, the way Rashi presents it, the Shvicha Shiraim is a mitzvah, but not connected to the Hazayos, and therefore not ma'akev at all. That is one way to present the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether or not the Shvicha Shiraim is ma'akev or not ma'akev. Rav Papa Amar, back to the Gemara, Rav Papa gives a different distinction. Dekulei Amar Shiraim ain ma'akev. No, everyone's of the opinion that the Shiraim is not ma'akev. V'hacha, v'mitzu v'chatas ha'ov ma'akev kamiflegi. And over here, the fine difference that exists between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is regarding mitzu v'chatas ha'ov. Now, when it comes to the bird chatas, we have not described it yet in any kind of detail. Really, later in the Masechta, we're going to be describing it in greater detail. But when it comes to a chatas ha'of, there are two parts of the avodah of a chatas ha'of. First of all, as we already described a couple of times, what the Kohen's going to do in terms of shechting is he's not going to use a knife, but he's going to use his thumbnail. He's going to take his thumbnail while holding the bird in his hand, and he's going to insert his thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird, and separating, not a full separation, we'll talk more about that later in the Masechta, but separating the head from the body. And under other circumstances, this would render the bird an avela, but in the base of Mikdash, this is called Malika, and this is how it's done. Okay, so now, obviously, with the major arteries now severed, so now you have blood coming out. What do you do? What does the Kohen do? So he does two things. He does one sprinkling, and then he does what's called mitsui. Probably the first time we mentioned this in the Masechta. So the sprinkling, what he does is he takes the bird and he just flings it. He holds the bird in his hand, but he whips it in the direction of the Mizbech, sprinkling the Mizbech. Now, when it comes to a bird, by the way, so the Mizbech gets inverted. Well, right, correct. In other words, the Ola goes on top and the Chatas goes below the Chotasikra. Okay, and that's just a halacha regarding the bird. And that's different. That's the opposite. It's the polar opposite of that of an animal. An animal Chatas goes on the top and the Ola goes on the bottom. But the bird, it goes the opposite. So here, if we're describing the Ola, the Chatas Ola, I'm sorry, Chatas Ha'of, so that means that the blood's going to be sprinkled on the lower half of the Mizbeach. So he whips it in that direction of the lower half of the Mizbeach. Then after that, what he's going to do is he's going to do Mitsui. Mitsui means to squeeze. He's going to press the body of the bird against the Mizbeach, and he's going to squeeze out the blood. Now, it's very similar to Shvicha Shiraim. Meaning is there's a hazaya, and then whatever's left over. But in other words, the blood is not collected in the bowl. The blood is just simply going directly from the neck of the bird onto the mizbech. But mitzui is like shvicha shirayim. And so the Gemara now is suggesting that when it comes to the animal, and you collected the blood in the bowl, and you did the sprinkling, shvicha shirayim is not ma'akev. The Gemara is now saying both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel agreed to this point. The only machlokus is regarding the mitzui of the chatas ha'of. So Marsav and Ma'akev, Marsav lo Ma'akev, and the Gemara says this is in fact the machlokas between the two. Now over here, you really have to read into the words of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, because, in other words, the topic of the discussion, the Brisa, is not talking about birds at all. So anyway, so again, you got to read it carefully, but the Gemara says that's what comes out from that. What we just learned together, according to Rav Papa, is that both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are both in agreement that the Shvicha Shiraim is not Ma'akev. And the Gemara now is going to support this. Tanya Kavase de Rav Papa. We have a brisa that supports Rav Papa, and it goes like this. There's Kol Hapar Yishpoch. Torah, when describing the par of the Kohen Gadol, says that you're going to be pouring all of the blood, the remainder of the blood, on the base of the Adam Mizbech. Matam alamar hapar limed apar yama kippurim shetam andamim liyasod. Divrei Rebbe. So when it says it's called hapar, the word hapar is extraneous, meaning just look at where we are in the Torah. Contextually, we're by the par of the Kohen Gadol. So the Torah didn't have to say hapar, it's obviously extra. What are we learning out over here? Par yama kippurim. In other words, when you complete the avoda of the par of Yom Kippur, so then you're going to, in other words, then how many sprinklings are going to be done with the par of Yom Kippur? So I'd say 48, but it's not really 48, meaning 48 is the total number of hazayos that are between the seir and the par. But in other words, a lot. Right now, without giving a numeric answer, a lot. We know that, in other words, the Kohen Shechs is par in Yom Kippur, and then goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkles there 8 times, goes to the Parochah, sprinkles there 8 times, and then machlokas, whether then it gets mixed with the blood of the seer, maybe at a later point in time. But anyway, right now, all we need to know is a lot. After you finish with all the sprinklings of the par of Yom Kippur, so then what do you do with whatever blood is left over? Shvicha Shirayim. You pour it on the outer mizbech. How do we know that? Meaning by the avodas Yom Kippurim doesn't say it, doesn't spell it out. So what we're learning together now in this braisa is it's encrypted. Where is it encrypted in the Torah? By the par Kohen Gadol of Perek Dalet of Vayikra. Since it says the words hapar, so why is the Torah over there say the word hapar? Par yamai kippurim, shetam andamim liyasod. That there's a shvicha shiram requirement for on the yasod. Divrei Rebbe. That is the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe or perhaps the girsa should be Rebbe Kiva. Historically fits in better. Amar Rebbe Yishmael, kavachomer. Rebbe Yishmael says, no, what do you mean? I need a pasuk to teach me about the Par Yom Kippur. I already know about the Par Yom Kippur based on simple logic. Oma mi she ein nechnas dam lifnim chova ton yesod. Mi she nechnas dam lifnim chova ein odin she ton yesod. Rabbi Yishmael says, look, Par Kohen Gadol, is there an obligation for the Kohen Gadol to bring his Par? I'm not talking about Yom Kippur. I'm talking about the Par Kohen Gadol mentioned in the beginning of Perek Dalet. Is there an obligation? Well, the answer is, after he sins, yes. But should he have sinned in the first place? Obviously, no. Meaning, this carbon that's described in the beginning of Perek Dalet is only as needed, and preferably shouldn't be needed. So in other words, when the Gebreis over here says, eino bachova, it means there's no requirement for the Kohen to sin, and therefore bring his special carbon chatas. Mashenkein on Yom Kippur, there is an obligation for the Kohen to bring a par on Yom Kippur, regardless of whether he sinned or did not sin, right? And likelihood is, right? There's something there that needs kapara. But in other words, regardless of whether he did or didn't, there's an obligation to bring. So if the argument goes like this, if for the special chatas of a Kohen Gadol, where the sprinkling is going to be done, I'm sorry, the carbon is going to be brought, and it really shouldn't have been brought because the Kohen shouldn't have sinned, and there's a requirement of Yisod HaMizbech, Shirayim Yisod HaMizbech. For the par of Yom Kippur, where that is a constant requirement annually, so there for sure there should be a requirement of Shvicha Shirayim. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva over here, also going to give a Kal V'chomer, also going to arrive at the same conclusion. He tweaks the Kal V'chomer just a little bit. Now, when it comes to the par of the Kohen Gadol, meaning we're talking about the par chatas of Perek Dalet. So when it comes to the par Kohen Gadol, so there, how far does the blood go interior? It only goes to the Heichal. It doesn't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And yet, that whatever's left over requires Shvicha Shirayim. Mi shenichnas damo chova lefnai v'lefnim. Ain't no din shetown yisod. So now, if I'm talking about the blood of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, we're there. How interior is that blood going? It's going all the way to Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there, it went more interior, which gives us a sense that it has more kedusha, more. It's more of a carbon chatzah. So for sure, there's a requirement to pour down the yisod.
You can say it also that it goes the fact that it goes all the way doesn't need any extra thing to do. Reverse it, you know, like...
Okay. Just because... All right. With all good kalvachomers, meaning it's an argument. It's a logical argument. So the... You and I can't argue with the argument, but I hear. In other words, I hear what you're saying, but that's the argument. So Eino Din Shetan Yisod, Yachol Ya'akvenu. Okay, so what do we have right now? Both according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Shmuel. We have Kavachomers that tell us that, of course, there's going to be a requirement on Yom Kippur to take whatever blood is left over by the par and sprinkle onto the Yisod of the Arum Mizbeach. And we learned it based on a Kavachomer. According to the first Tana, which either is Rabbi or Rabbi Akiva, we learn it out based on the Pasuk. But in any event, so in other words, what we just learned is that there's a mitzvah Shvicha Shiraim. Yachol Ye'akvenu. Now this Braisa continues. The Braisa says, here's a Havamina. Havamina is that it's Ma'akev. In other words, it's critical. Shvicha Shiraim is critical. Tamalamer v'chila mikaper, esakadosh, shamu kol akaparos kulan, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So once you finish all the kaparos, meaning all the hazayos in the Heichal, so that's it. You get a check. Meaning kapara has been achieved, and then, yes, of course, the Shvicha Shiraim, but that's not critical, it's not essential. And these are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Kavacham leparko in Mashiach. Me'ata, u'ma she'in nichnas dam lifnim lo chava v'lo mitzvah tan yisod. Mishin nichnas dam lifnim bein lechava bein lemitzvah. Eino din shetan yisod. Yachol ya'akvenu. Now, again, the Braisa says, I might have thought that it should be ma'akiv tamalamar. Ve'es kol hapar yishpoch. Nitku hakasuv la'aseva asu shayar mitzvah lamechashirayim ein ma'akvin. So the Braisa over here concludes that no, by virtue of the fact that the Torah only provides the requirement of shvicha shirayim as an asay, as a positive commandment, meaning to say that it is a positive, it is a mitzvah to do so, but it's not ma'akev. How does the Braisa at the very end understand that it's not absolutely required? Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. Rashi actually looks very carefully at the wording of the Torah. Misadir shara avodos v'asu shara mitzvah. Shishina behiluch lishono. Rashi at the very end of the Amud says, because if you look carefully, the way the Torah describes Shvicha Shirayim, the subtle difference of language in the Torah. Shekol avodos ksiv v'lakach, v'hiza, v'nasan akarnos. Meaning if you look carefully at the wording of the Torah when describing other avodas, it describes it in very clear instructive terms, and you will take, and you will sprinkle, and you will apply. Now, when you get to Shvichas Damim, the Torah does not say, and you will pour, but rather, Elashina b'mashma'a linatko. But if you look very carefully at the subtle language of the Torah, actually, it changes a little bit. Meaning, if you look carefully, I'll read the pasuk. Ves kol hapar yishpoch. And what do you do with whatever blood's left over? Oh, that you pour. Meaning, the Torah doesn't say vishafach. So that Rashi, it's beautiful. In other words, looking at carefully at the language of the Torah. But anyway, what did we just see in this braisa very clearly? That according to Rabbi Shmuel, Shvicha Shiraim is not ma'akev. It said so clearly. This conforms to Rav Papa, meaning, we'll go all the way back to the braisa on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The braisa over there brings down a kavachomer, both of Rabbi Kiva and of Rabbi Shmuel. We want to know what the difference between the two were, because they were basically making the same point. And according to Rav Adar Ba'ava, the question was whether or not Shvicha Shiraim is ma'akev or not ma'akev. Rav Papa says, no, they both agree that it's not ma'akev. The only difference between them is regarding mitzui of chatas ha'of. That's the difference. And now what we just learned together in this braisa that brought us to the bottom of the Amud, is that this braisa holds that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Shvicha Shiraim is not ma'akev, and this is a support for Rav Papa, which is exactly what the point of the Gemara was.
It just was only for the bears.
Right. V'savar Rabbi Shmuel mitzvah chatzatzov ma'akev. Now the Gemara says, now, comes out that according to Rav Papa, so fine. So Shvicha Shiraim is not ma'akev, that's clearly been established. But according to Rav Papa, what is ma'akev is the squeezing of the remaining blood in a chatzatzov. So the Gemara says, V'atan debe Rabbi Shmuel v'anishar b'dam yimatzei. So the Gemara says, look, whatever's left over there, you got to squeeze, and whatever's not left over there, you don't have to squeeze. And this braisa, clearly authored by Rabbi Shmuel, it's Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. But the Gemara assumes over here that Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel are one and the same. which makes sense, meaning it's the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, but still it's the same point. In other words, but what sounds clear from this brisa is that if there's blood, so then good, squeeze. And if there's no blood, it's okay, good, so there's no blood. In other words, so then there's nothing to squeeze. Comes down now that according to this brisa, mitzui of the chatzot of it's not ma'akev, and the Gemara says, trei tanai aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. And what Rav Papa will have to tell you is that, yeah, in other words, there are two versions of Rabbi Yishmael. And by the way, that may also fit in well with the fact that this, what we just learned together was Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, which means that it was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael. But in other words, other versions of Rabbi Yishmael have it differently. Yeah, okay. Amar Ami Bar Chama. We're on the top of Nenbez and Nenbez. And Hai Tana Sav Shirayim Ma'akve, D'Tanya. Okay, so we have now already learned together in the course of this morning that in terms of Shvicha Shirayim, it's a mitzvah that we could say in absolute terms, and not only is it a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah by the Karban Chatzos, it's a mitzvah by all other Karbanos as well. And now, under discussion is whether or not it is Ma'akev or not Ma'akev. We have learned together this morning that according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Shmuel, it is not Ma'akev. It's a mitzvah, but it does not hold back the Kapara. What we're going to be learning together now is that there are Tanaim who disagree. Amar Rabbi Bechama, Haitana Sava Shirayim Ma'akve. There is a Tana that says that Shirayim is Ma'akev to Tanya. Hakona Mechate Osa. Osa shiniten dama lamala velo osa shiniten dama lamata. When describing the sprinkling of the Karban Chatos, so the Torah says the word osa. You know, osa is always a meter. It always is an exclusion, meaning it's a limitation. Meaning, if I do it in this way, it's fine. If I do not do it in this way, it's not fine. And so the Brisa starts off with that when the Kohen is michate, right? In other words, michate over here, right? Does the avoda with the Karban Chatos. Literally to cleanse. So it's a mechate osa osa shenitan dama lamala v'lo osa shenitan dama lamata. So in other words, only if the blood of the Karban Chatos is sprinkled on the upper portion of the mizbeach does it provide a kapara. But if sprinkled on the lower portion of the mizbeach, it does not provide kapara. Amart v'chi me'ayin bata. And now, where are we coming from? Meaning a little context, please. So the Gemara goes on to explain. The Brisa goes on to explain. Mechlal. What we already learned together earlier in the Masechta, we learned this in the beginning of the fourth parak of Zvachim, is that, look, there is, of course, a requirement to do a sprinkle multiple times with many karbanos. By karban chatos, as many as four times. But we also learned together that if you do one, so then that provides a kapara. Yachol af anitana lamala shenitna lamata kiper. So the Gemara says, so therefore it would lead us to a possible conclusion, erroneous it is, but a possible conclusion that, look, we already pared down that even though there is a requirement to sprinkling two, sometimes four, but if I do one, that's enough. So therefore, I might have therefore concluded that if I do one, and even if I do one on the lower portion of the Mizbeach, so that would be sufficient. So the Gemara is now explaining that builds the Havamina, that even doing on the lower portion would be sufficient. The Gemara says, Vidinu, the Gemara says, but nah, I wouldn't have thought that. Let's think this through logically. Nemru damin lamalav and nemru damin lamata. Look, the Torah has told us already that there's a point of demarcation in the Mizbeach, separating the upper part and the lower part of the Mizbeach. And here's what we know. Any carbon where the blood is supposed to be sprinkled in the lower portion of the Mizbeach cannot be sprinkled in the upper portion of the Mizbeach. In fact, if you do so, it accomplishes nothing. Ma damim amorim lamatan shenasan lamalan lo kiper av damim hamorim lamalim nasan lamata lo kiper. So the Brisa says, but I know that if I took any blood where it was supposed to be sprinkled in the lower portion and sprinkled in the upper portion, it provides no kapara. So therefore, I can make the opposite argument as well. By karban chatos, where I need to sprinkle in the upper portion of the mizbech and I sprinkle in the lower portion of the mizbech, it should not provide kapara. So you had a havamina that if I sprinkle on the lower portion, it's mechaper. Why would you have that? Why would you have had that hava amina? Lo. Then the Gemara does a 180. The Bryce, I should say, does a 180. Lo. Im amart betachtonim shenitanim minisni lamala she'ein sofa lamalan. Lo kiper. Gemara says, look, when I have the karbanos where I need to sprinkle on the lower portion, do you know why the upper portion provides no kapara? Because there's simply no shaychus whatsoever for the blood to go in the upper portion. Meaning for karbanos where the blood goes on the lower portion of the mizbeach, that's where it is. That's where it always is. Masha enkin bel yonish nasa lamata sheish mehem krav lamata damim krav lamata. I'm sorry, krav lamata. However, by carbon chatas. You want to tell me that it's totally banned and barred from the lower portion of the mizbech? It's not true. Because we know that after sprinkling the upper portion of the mizbech, what do I do with the remaining part of the blood? It goes on the lower part of the mizbech. So once again, we're back. We resuscitated the havamina. Therefore, I might have thought that if the only part of the mizbech I hit with the carbon chatas is the lower part of the mizbech, that should be acceptable. So the Gemara says, no, damim apnimim yochichu. So the Gemara says, think about the chatas of, think about the blood of the chatas of panimi. Sheyesh meim krav b'chutz, v'im nasam b'tchila b'chutz lo kiper. There, the Gemara says, well, when it comes to the chatas of panimis, let's say I went straight to the outer mizbech with blood that was supposed to go on the inner mizbech. So if I accomplished anything, obviously the answer is no. So, lo. So the Gemara says, well, that's a terrible comparison. Because the mizbech apanimi, she'im mizbech apanimi mamarkam. Because when I do the blood of the inner mizbech, even then, I'm not yet completed when I sprinkle the inner mizbech. Tomer bel yonim, sharei kronos memarkan. So but I'm going to compare it now to the outer mizbeach, the blood of the outer chatas, where there the corners actually finish off the job. So im nasnam lemata ksherim. So therefore we resuscitated the hava, meaning that if I would sprinkle on the lower portion of the mizbeach, it would be kosher. Tamalomer osa. So now what we have done in the last eight, ten lines of the Braisa is basically we resuscitated a hava mina. So, and the whole purpose of resuscitating the Havamina is now, that's why I need the drasha to dispel the Havamina. Osa, shenitan dama lamala velo, shenitan dama lamata. So the Braisa therefore concludes and says, no, that what we're accomplishing over here is that when the Torah says that you have the blood of the outer Mizbeach being sprinkled on the top, it has to be exclusively on the top, not on the bottom. And if I were to sprinkle the blood of the carbon chatzos on the bottom of the mizbech, not on the top of the mizbech, it is provided no kapar whatsoever. Now, all this is well and good, but, and we'll leave ourselves off for tomorrow, all this is well and good, but what was the whole point of bringing in this braisa? To make a demonstration to show that the shirayim are, in fact, ma'akev. There is, right now, as we have just went through the entire braisa, the essential point of the braisa is that if I take the blood of a carbon chatzos, sprinkle on the lower portion of the mizbech, it provides no kapara. Where do we see from the Braisa that Shirayim are, in fact, Ma'akev? So stay tuned. That will.
We don't know who's saying that, though.
What? Whoever the author of the Braisa is.
We don't know Ma'an
Dama. Right. And whoever the author of the Braisa is. But the whole point of bringing in the Braisa was to make that point. But we just went through the Braisa. Where did we see that together in the Braisa? So we'll cross that T. We'll dot that I tomorrow morning. We'll finish it off.
Good night.